Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into 10 Dynasty trades from the NLX Dynasty Trade Database. So right here, walk right down the trades. Sam Darnold for Sammy Watkins in a second. I could be bitten by Sammy Watkins. Probably been bitten by Sammy Watkins enough. I actually cut him in a league. It felt like ending a long relationship that just had gotten very dysfunctional. But I held on for dear life and finally just cut bait. Listen, I could be totally crazy, but there's a chance with him that if Marquise Brown is really hurt, if you know Bateman isn't totally the guy yet from the jump, that Watkins could masquerade as a usable wide receiver three type. And I'm not going to bet my house on it, but I think it's an interesting conceptual idea. And if I'm getting back, if I would typically like Sammy Watkins to be a depth running back in this trade. But I think it's a savvy spot for Watkins. I'll be interested to see if Watkins, some of his trade volume goes up here in the next week or so, just because there's a little bit of buzz coming out of Baltimore. I think it's just interesting enough from, especially in this, it's like a really deep roster too, that you could start like 8 wide receivers in this league. So he does have some viability in that league, more so than if you were playing like 10 team, you know, start 2, something like that. So, and I'd take the pick for Darnold. I think it's a good trade. So. A related one, I guess, here, Marquise Brown for Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know how Marquise Brown makes a difference for you. I can tell you how Garoppolo makes a difference. And I think that's all I need to know about this trade. So I'm taking Garoppolo. I could tell you the story about how he has a really good year. He spins it off like Alex Smith did and is a league average starter for the next couple of years, and all of a sudden like he's trouncing Marquise Brown. Like, I can absolutely tell you that. So I think that's an interesting aspect. Like, I would definitely do that deal just because I think Marquise Brown's probably never going to move the needle for you. I think there's a chance that Garoppolo can be a quarterback too, and especially this year, and then we'll see. I think he's going to start this year. Shanahan's been pretty adamant that he's going to start. This might be an actual sneaky time to trade for him because there's a lot of Trey Lance buzz. I think Garoppolo is probably going to be the starter there. At least that's what they're saying and have been saying consistently and adamantly since the beginning of training camp, since June, as a matter of fact. Like, this has been a consistent thing. I cover San Francisco for Football Guys. This has been a consistent on-and-on thing there with him. So that's my take. I think Garoppolo, taking a shot on Garoppolo here, is an interesting opportunity to take a shot on a potential Alex Smith type quarterback situation. Again, and Superflex, dealing with some depth, gives you a lot of flexibilities all over your board. Jacob Eason for Elijah Mitchell. I mean, give me Eason. This is almost the same thing. Like, I don't know what's going on with Wentz. There's a non-zero chance that Jacob Eason's a long-term starter. Again, I think it's not that high. But there is a non-zero chance that whatever's wrong with Wentz, he doesn't come back, that Eason, Dak Prescott's him. Like, hey, they like what they see. Wentz comes back, falls on his face. They cut him, you know, give up the second, cut him. Eason, you know, finds himself in like a Minshew-type conundrum, something like that. Like, I could see that outcome. I think it's a savvy bet for nothing, essentially. So I would take the Eason side of that just because I think the outcome is probably better than Elijah Mitchell's outcome. Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin for Ryan Tannehill and Noah Fant. This one's interesting because you're going no quarterbacks on one side and a quarterback, a pretty good one, on the other side. So I think that's an interesting one. It's a start one tight end and a neutral tight end scoring as well. So man, I'd be interested to know what the team needs are on this. I'd be interested to know the why of this. I think McLaurin's really interesting. I think Evans is really interesting too. But then again, you're getting a starting quarterback. It feels like market value neutral. If this is a scenario where Tannehill is like your quarterback three, and you got a couple really good ones, and Tannehill was kind of like found pocket change. Like, I could sort of see how you make this construction work. I would kind of shoot for this. I wonder sort of how elite the outcome is with it. I think outside of injury, who loses here? I think There's a lot of outs for both teams. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I would probably have shot for a running back if I was getting back Tannehill, but I see the build. I think it's an interesting construct from a trade. We don't tend to see a ton of those. It feels like the top end asset should be a little bit higher, but I like Evans and McLaurin probably more than the market does. So I think it's about right. Honestly, I think it's a really, really interesting construct if you're trying to get a quarterback on how you would have to do it or how you would try and trade out of a quarterback. It feels like if you're trying to trade out of a quarterback to someone that needs depth, you shouldn't necessarily need to give a top eight tight end on top of that. That would sort of be my quibble with this deal. Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay, and Michael Gallup for Leonard Fournette, Ty Johnson, and DJ Shark. I think this one's interesting from a how do these guys make a difference perspective. I think that Gordon, we're doing this series over Football Guys that I'm contributing to, and it's basically, you know, what running back one is most likely to lose his job, and Melvin Gordon's like the consensus pick. I didn't pick Melvin Gordon. I picked Devin Singletary, assuming that he actually fit the definition of a starting running back. I think Gordon's probably better than people give him credit for, and expecting Javonte Williams to come in and take his job right away is probably asking a little bit much, would sort of be my thought. But so do you have that? I think there's an interesting aspect to this of like Fournette. What are you expecting out of Fournette? If maybe you're punting the beginning part of the season in terms of Fournette's viability and thinking down the line, like, hey, could Fournette, what's the story on Fournette being a difference maker? And it's probably like, hey, someone gets injured and Fournette's a difference maker down the stretch. If that's Ronald Jones getting injured, for example, or Ronald Jones gets cut, like there's, or traded, like those things, I'll point to Fournette being a difference maker. Where it's kind of the opposite way for Gordon, where you think like, all right, the probably when push comes to shove at the end of the season, like he's probably not going to make a difference for you. I think that's one aspect to look at this deal. Kind of what do you value? When do you value it? The other thing, too, is I would say, you know, Lindsay is a non-zero chance that he's the starting running back for Houston next year. So you got that crack. There's a non-zero chance that Ty Johnson's viable this year. So I think that's interesting, too. Shark and Gallup, just looking at these assets, it's really interesting. Shark and Gallup, like I'd probably take Shark over Gallup just because I think Shark's got more outs than Gallup does. But I think this one's really close. I don't see, you know, if I'm doing this deal, I want sort of a better answer to how I won than probably being involved in this deal. But when you look at these assets and look at them put together, I think it's really interesting. Like I would probably tilt more towards the Leonard Fournette side of this, just on the sense of, hey, he could make a difference when it matters to me, probably more than Melvin Gordon would. But I think ultimately it's pretty close. If you want to say like, hey, I get more shots at the running back position going Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay, I don't think that's necessarily wrong either. Giovanni Bernard and Bryan Edwards for Russell Gage and Preston Williams. This feels like, given all that is we're reading out of Vegas with Bryan Edwards, this feels like an undersell for Edwards. So again, Gio, he's fine. Like I'm trying to get a third for him wherever I can. Like he's a roster clogger to me at this point. I love Gio, but I just don't think he matters much this year. That's kind of my angle on him. But yeah, I do think that you know, Edwards is pulling some market value. I don't think Preston Williams is all that valuable. I don't think Gage is all that valuable. So I'd take the Edwards and Geo side of this. I think you could probably package up for better at some point here. Derek Carr for Chase Edmonds. This is actually in a league that I'm in. I think you got to get more than Chase Edmonds for a starting quarterback. I think you just have to. This is a safe leagues league that I am in. I think you got to get more than Chase Edmonds for Derek Carr. So, and I think Derek Carr can still be a long-term starter in the NFL. Like Chase Edmonds isn't guaranteed to start week one. That seems like a disaster. Cam Akers for Mike Gesicki and start one tight end non-premium. That feels like you just sort of, you're like lying on the ground and just curled up in the fetal position, really hurting given where Cam Akers was a couple of weeks ago to where he is now. Like it just really sucks. that's what this trade is. This trade sucks. It makes you realize how bad the Akers injury was. I get it. I don't know if Gesicki's enough of a core asset to make a huge difference. Like, I don't know. I, it's probably market fair, but man, it sucks. It really does suck. Saquon Barkley, this one's interesting because I could see more of this happening. So Saquon Barkley for Zach Wilson in a future first. I think it's the Barkley side of this. I don't think we should underestimate some of the scare in the Barkley market. I have tried to move Barkley this week and had little success doing so. So just keep that in mind. I think there might be a buy window on Barkley here that's opening up, especially with some of the comments coming out of the Giants. I had a little debate with Chad on the Football Guy show, like, or maybe, I don't even know if it made the air or not, but we were discussing it, and I was like, yeah, I'm spooked on Barkley. He's like, oh, come on. He's like, I was like, I don't think he's like a guarantee to start in September. And then where are we? We've been two full years without a difference making. And I think that might settle in. I don't know if I'm in the majority there. I think I'm probably firmly in the minority. But he has slipped, and he's almost out of the first round in startup drafts in this past month. Like, that has not happened in a long time. Again, first world problems talking of first round draft picks, but I'd be surprised if there's not some opening up of a window like this for Zach Wilson at first. So give me Barkley, but because I don't think either of those two things are super premium assets, and I think Barkley probably still is a premium asset. But yeah, like I would hunt Barkley right now if you've got the tolerance for the risk. Definitely. Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, and 2/3 next year for Christian Kirk and 2 firsts in 2023. These are super flex. Smash the picks. This is overconfidence on a single player in a rookie draft. You are giving 2 future firsts for 108 in a rookie draft. You smash that. You smash it again, and you smash it again. Take the future picks. You get 2 future picks for a day two running back who hasn't played a snap and probably doesn't project to be a huge, huge, huge difference maker. Give me the picks. That's a huge upside win there. And like, you have outs too with Kirk. Like, you've got outs. Like, you can fix and you can find a way to make Williams be, you know, if it's a couple weeks of Mike Davis and a couple weeks of Gallman from last year and Bernard from last year, like, you can make up the Javonte Williams angle on this. Those picks are super, super valuable. Another one for Eason, by the way, Gabe Davis. So, like, that's kind of the market which you're in. I do think, like, if you've got him, like, I'd probably shoot for higher than that. I think they probably both have about the same chance of making a difference. So I think that they're appropriately fair. I think it's a pretty remote chance. But give me the guy that's absolutely the guy at the more rare position. So give me Eason there. Damian Harris for Tony Pollard. This is interesting. Like, this is a full-on embrace the variance type thing. Where Harris probably has a lower ceiling than Pollard does, but Pollard definitely has a lower floor. I think it's a really interesting deal. All told, like, you have to start. What's interesting with this is you have to start 3 running backs in this league, so that does have some impact in terms of it makes Harris more valuable, I think, you know, having the option to start him. So I'd probably take Harris here, but I think Pollard's, it's interesting. It's an interesting conceptual exercise. If it's a smaller roster or something like that, or a smaller lineup, I could see the taking Pollard side of it. Leonard Fournette and 1/3 for Damian Harris. This is similar to that Pollard one. And this one's interesting because you can start only 1 running back and you can start up to 8 flexes. So this one's an interesting one in terms of that. Maybe you take the Fournette side on this because you're thinking, hey, let me shoot some more upside where I don't necessarily need the floor play of Harris. I could see either side of that. I think I'd probably take the Fournette and the pick side. But I can see taking the Harris side on that as well. Okay. One last one here, because it does involve, Darrell Henderson. So Jared Goff and Curtis Samuel, who's actually injured right now, so we'll sort of be, or he's been in and out of practice. I don't know if fully injured is the right way to put it. Darrington Evans and Darrell Henderson. So I would take the Goff side on this just because I think you're getting a starting quarterback, and you're getting him for the price of, I don't know the difference between Darrell Henderson and Curtis Samuel super much. You know, it probably is. I think Henderson's probably got a higher ceiling, but I mean, you're getting a starting quarterback and super flex. Give me Goff. That would sort of be my angle on it. I don't necessarily feel great about it, but I think that's a good way to pivot. All right, so we're looking in the last 7 days in trades. I hadn't looked at this beforehand, so we'll see what the names are here. I'm interested. Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson, Darnell Mooney, interesting. Mike Davis, interesting. Mike Williams, Michael Thomas, those are the guys over 1%. Some other guys here just to highlight, Ruggs is up, Pittman's up, Rager's up. So those are the guys there in terms of that. Let's see. Over the last 14 days, Akers has the biggest increase. Darrell Henderson, no surprise, Michael Thomas, Chase Claypool, Rager, Mike Williams. If you're looking to get out of Rager or Mike Williams shares, like there's a liquid, some liquidity in the market to do that. Mike Davis is interesting too in there. Allen Robinson's up. Juju quite a bit too. So just keep that in mind. I think that's an interesting one there. And over the past month, it's been Akers, Henderson, Rager's the third most, the third biggest increase in trading volume over the past month. That's interesting. I wonder if that's some analytics of Dynasty guys doing that. Michael Thomas, Chase Claypool, Mike Davis is up there too. So big uptick there. There is a market there to sell him. Interesting. Juju Smith-Schuster. So all those guys up there at the top. Damian Harris up there as well. Josh Jacobs, Kareem Hunt. So some of our guys up there, lots of market liquidity. Brian Edwards is a guy I expect to see some uptake. Chenault as well. So be on the lookout for those guys out in the market. Also be on the lookout for, there's going to be some additions to the analytics of Dynasty player comparison engine. So you're going to be able to go in there, do some quarterback stuff, which is going to be really interesting to me. I'm incorporating some more receiver metrics as well. So just we'll get more opportunities to look at these sorts of things. So be on the lookout all for that, which should be coming out here in the next, if you're listening to this podcast, in the next 24 to 48 hours or so. And that'll be it for this podcast, and have a good rest of your day, and get in there to the player engine. I'm interested to hear what people find, because there's a lot there to look at. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.